Not so fast. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. On Friday, Netflix announced an agreement to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. Fox's Frank Lanza reports somebody else is trying to swoop in.
Paramount announcing an all-cash offer worth $30 a share to acquire Warner Brothers. In a press release, Paramount saying their strategically and financially compelling offer to WBD shareholders provides a superior alternative to Netflix. The streaming giant's cash and stock deal for the storied movie giant came in at $27.75 per share. Meanwhile, President Trump hinting there could be a problem with Netflix acquiring Warner Brothers because of antitrust issues. The president also making it clear he'll be involved in the final decision.
And the Netflix deals for Warner's TV and movie businesses and streaming services, including HBO Max, the Paramount offers for the whole company, including cable channels like CNN. President Trump plans to announce a $12 billion farm aid package today. Some farmers have struggled to sell crops because of a trade war over tariff rates. Ukraine's President Zelensky is meeting with European leaders today in London, and there's more money for Ukraine in the defense policy bill released by Congress.
The 3,000-page National Defense Authorization Act would authorize a record $900 billion for U.S. national security. The NDAA includes a 4% raise in pay for troops and $400 million in aid to Ukraine. President Trump's administration had requested $892 billion for defense and spending, but that received pushback from some Republicans who warned more was needed to be spent on the military to keep up with Russia and China. The massive must-pass legislation authorizes Pentagon programs for the remaining fiscal year. A separate spending bill will need to be passed by Congress to fund it. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Supreme Court is hearing arguments now in a case challenging President Trump's firing of Federal Trade Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter. Court precedent says independent federal agency executives can only be fired for cause. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation honors America's heroes. Heroes like Josh Bischoff. Josh began his firefighting career as a volunteer and ultimately became Cal Fire's Assistant Chief of Tactical Air Operations until tragedy struck and he was killed in a helicopter collision while fighting a California wildfire. He leaves behind his wife Cheryl and their two children, Derek and Juliana. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation paid the Bischoff family's mortgage. Support heroes like Josh and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Lucky Larry's Landscaping, Larry! Larry saved his business money with a quick commercial auto quote from Progressive. Does it help he's his own marketing manager, accountant, executive assistant, and never been late? Technically, yes, but saving really put him over the edge. So, Larry, give Larry a round of applause. Be your own, Larry. See if you could save in as little as 8 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliate.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Marie. Over the weekend, the Sunrise Optimist Club presented a check to the Advocate Foundation. The club raised $7,000 through a bowling fundraiser in November for the foundation, which supports Yuma families who have children with childhood cancer. The Sunrise Optimist Club is an organization that volunteers to raise money for the youth of our community. If you would like more information on how to join this club, you can visit our website at kyma.com. Locals were in the holiday spirit as the city of Yuma hosted the annual Downtown Christmas over the weekend. The event took place along Main Street in downtown Yuma Saturday at 1 p.m. There were a variety of food and drink vendors, live entertainment, and fun activities for families to enjoy. One of the main attractions is the ice skating rink, which families got to choose a time slot via QR code at the entrance of the skating rink. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Sunny, mild days, clear, cold nights this week. 77 and sunny today, 52 and clear tonight, 78 and sunny tomorrow, 51 tomorrow night, 80 with sunshine on Wednesday.
El Dorado Broadcasters invites you to support Crossroads Mission, and our friends at Cal Ranch will match up to every dollar donated, up to $1,000 total. Crossroads Mission serves those at their crossroads in life with programs, services, emergency shelter, free meals, along with drug and alcohol treatment programs in our community. This holiday season, Crossroads Mission will need your support more than ever. With Cal Ranch's match, your money will help twice as many women, men, children, and families. $5, $10, $20, or $50. It all helps. Give today and help transform a life. You can donate directly to Crossroads Mission or donate at Cal Ranch by rounding up. If you're unable to donate money, consider joining the volunteers that help keep Crossroads Mission running smoothly. On behalf of everyone at El Dorado Broadcasters and Crossroads Mission, thank you for your generous help and support, and happy holidays.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Well, Chris Thompson, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Life, Death, and the Law.
Yeah.
I know it's the highlight of your month.
It is. It is. I look forward to it every month.
No, so before we started, we were talking about Facebook purchases.
Yeah.
And I've got this fetish recently that I'm on Facebook Marketplace all the time because I'm trying to wean myself off of social media.
Okay.
I waste a lot of time just... You know, what is that called? Dead scrolling.
Uh-huh. Doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I can't just quit cold turkey. So I'll limit it. I'll take off Instagram. I'll take off YouTube little shorts. And I'm only, and the Facebook Reels, I mean, those are great too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just doing Facebook Marketplace. But the problem is it's super expensive. Because I end up buying the stuff.
Sure.
And so I've got a ton of these little buys, and I've started buying scooters, mopeds, I guess. And Yamaha Vino and Yamaha Zuma has been my brand of choice lately. So,
okay. So if there's one out there.
If it's a good deal, I'm all over it.
Okay.
And I've gone from, you know, driving up to Phoenix and buying them from the original owner with it in pristine condition, only 400 miles on it. Their title is crisp as the day that they got it, to sending my brother-in-law to San Diego and going, well, the Skid Row version of San Diego. Huh? And buying it from a homeless person.
Really?
Yeah, with the title written up on a cardboard piece of cardboard and handing it over. And he was not appreciative of that. I saw, you know, on Marketplace, you don't really know the background that well of, you know, who you're buying from. You could look into it a little bit more, but I saw this, it was a really good deal, and I'm like, hey, go down and buy this before, you know, somebody else snatches it up. So he goes down. They line up a meeting place, and it's in the parking lot of the stadium, of the Charger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm here in the parking lot. He calls me up. He's like, there's nobody here. I mean, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, the guy's supposed to meet you there. He chose the spot. And he's like, hold on a second. And he sees this guy comes barreling out of the bushes on this moped and pulls up to him in the truck. And he's like, okay, hold on. Somebody just pulled up to me. And he's like, he's definitely homeless. So I'm like, well, what color is the moped? He's like, yellow. I'm like, that's it. And I'm like, just buy it. So he buys it. And anyway... It was an interesting experience. He's like, do you live around here? Talking to the individual, and he's like, yeah. He's like, well, where? Because there's no houses.
Sure.
Around there.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, there. Points to the bushes. Okay, all right. And so I got the moped home, and it had been rigged up, so there was a cigarette lighter that was rigged up to it, and
like
USB chargers. Huh?
Like hot-wired rigged up?
Yeah. And okay. So I spent the weekend pulling out all the wiring that he had put in it to... Basically, he had used this thing. The compartment under the seat is quite roomy, so there was a lot of storage under there, and I could see that it had been quite utilized.
All right.
And, you could probably plug into that cigarette lighter and warm up coffee and stuff like that. You know, they have all those little things for
it. Travel gadgets.
Yeah. So anyway, it had been used, but I got that. So I got 7 of them now. I got to stop.
You have 7 scooters?
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
That can ride a scooter?
No, just...
Total, at home,
have you 3. Outnumbered? Okay.
Well, 4 for right now for the holidays, but 3 okay. during school.
So everyone has their scooter. You can do a parade. They're not... Parade of scooters.
Yeah, the kids aren't really allowed to ride the scooters.
These are your scooters?
Yeah.
Don't touch dad's scooters?
They can ride them with me sometimes.
Wow. I think Sean has some undiagnosed things going on.
Mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Read that book again.
I'm right there with you.
The Minosaurus.
Yeah. I have things just to have them.
Uh-huh.
And it drives my wife nuts. Like
cookware.
I just put together, I have to install them, 2 more wall racks to hold additional cookware.
Oh, okay.
So we have a lot of cookware.
You need it at your disposal? Because I'm one that I want it not to see. I don't want to see it till I need it.
Yeah, this is kind of in a pantry area, so we don't really see it. Out in our actual kitchen, we just have the daily use stuff.
Gotcha.
And then we have a pantry, and then I built a room addition and included in their space for more kitchen stuff. Gadgets and things, and I have the same problem with kitchen tools. I think they're fascinating. They're awesome. There's usually a history with them. There's a reason it's shaped the way it is. There's things you cook in this type of thing, and you know. So my wife and I get into it from time to time about I have too much, but because there's certain pans and dishes I'll use once a year. Because it's for one dish, you know, and then it goes up on the shelf and we don't touch it again, you know, for a year. But it's large and takes up space and real estate. And, you know, but I don't want to rebuy it every year. You know, that's inefficient. So we get into it about that probably more than anything else. My tendency to hoard is a problem for my wife. It's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
But it's a problem for her. But I try to work on it.
Sort of. It doesn't sound like it.
There's a book I'm reading right now you might benefit from. It's called Essentialism.
Essentialism?
Yeah, and it's the art of living with less but better.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he talks about how we get too much into stuff, but we lose the real quality of life. And he talks about it from your career to activities that you're doing with your kids,
okay.
All the sports, all the extracurricular activities, and clothes and traveling and all the different things. And basically, it's like the raw dog style of just life. And so he says, do only, like, be very specific what you want to do and what only you can do, and delegate everything else, or just don't do it at all.
Right.
And so he gives several examples, good examples of individuals. One is a CEO, and he wants to, what his dream job would be is just to be a consultant at the company. He doesn't want to go in there and do all the meetings. He doesn't want to look over all of the payroll and the accounting and things like that. He wants to just go through the different compartments and consult and help people do the best that they can at their individual positions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he proposes this to the company and they say, no, that's not an option. And so he's writing up his letter of resignation and he goes and he's talking to basically a headhunter or a career consultant to where his next position is going to be. Cause he's like, I've lost the fire for this job and I really want to go and do something that I love. And the consultant says, why don't you go back to work and just don't tell anybody, but just do exactly what you want to do. Worst they can do is fire you, and you're going to resign anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just do what you want to do. And so he goes back, and people ask him, hey, you're going to step into this meeting? No. At first, they're like, what do you mean, no? No, I'll catch up on the notes on it. I'll review the notes and the things that apply to me. I'll go ahead and take in consideration.
I like it already.
Yeah. And so he goes about doing this, and he says that people start to respect his time a lot more. They start to be more considerate about the things that they're asking him to do because he's willing to say no. And the things that they ask him to do become more important and the things that only he can answer those types of questions. And he said that the quality of his work life increased significantly. He implemented that then at home, and it snowballed into something that helped his overall quality of life increase. Mm. That is the overarching theme of the book. And Adam, we've kind of gone through some type of version of that here at our firm. We've thought about, why are we doing certain things over and over? Is it just because we've gotten used to it and it's become habit, or is it because it's necessary? Does that click at all when I tell that story? Does that have a light bulb go off for you?
I wasn't listening.
Oh, boy.
<I'm teasing.
laughs> You were practicing the essentialism.
Yeah. Are you talking this time?
It's very bad.
Your voice is so melodic. No, I mean, I agree with you. As you were talking, I was thinking we've seen iterations of that in our law firm where we've delegated. We've learned to delegate some things, and some things we hold closer to the chest just because we want to make sure they're perfectly done.
Mm-hmm.
Some things have a little bit more leeway or flexibility. How about you at your office?
I was just, as you were describing that, so there's a way I was taught to do things in an architectural firm. There was a way to organize the drawings. There's a way to organize the files. There's a way to do those things. And so as I bring new people on, younger people that have learned other ways to do it, there's a little bit of resistance on my part,
yeah,
to allow those ideas in. But then I've found over the years that there's a lot of benefit that comes from hearing those ideas and allowing those people to take tools and things that are important, essential, we could say, to their workflow and allow them to change how I operate. We have a couple newer people at the office that are very computer savvy, very AI savvy. And so one is actually building an AI for us that does things the way we want to do them. And that's a little nerve-wracking. I've never considered myself not computer savvy, but I kind of like the way things work.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way things go. But I also always was disappointed in some of my predecessors that they didn't advance with the times. And so I think if we're going to advance, we have to allow those things to happen, allow those new ideas to come in, more efficient ways. It could unlock more efficient ways to get things done. And so it's difficult. So when that guy tells somebody, I'm not going into that meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff is jarring. But in the end, it was helpful. I'm very anti-meeting. I don't
productive
care for
meetings,
them.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, and they have to happen. You have to meet. But sometimes meetings are inefficient
mm-hmm.
use of time for sure. But necessary all the same. You can't do everything digitally. You can't do everything via email, much to our chagrin. You can't do everything text, everything email. Sometimes you need that face to face, especially when you're meeting a client on a new project. You know, you need to see them. You need to hear them. You need to hear their, you know, their voice and their intonation and their body language will indicate what's a priority for them in the design. And if you're just going designing off of a bullet point list email, you're going to miss what's the spirit or what's the priority for this owner in this building, or what's important to them. You know, what's important, what's essential to them, sometimes you only get by meeting. And so you need to have it, but I'm all for decreasing the amount of time in meetings.
Yeah, like with all innovations, AI has created division. There are people that love it, mm-hmm. and people that really fear it. It seems like it's like the web. It's going to be all-encompassing. And so you have to, it is going to affect your life one way or another, whether or not you embrace it or not.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
We're the comfort experts, people you can trust. Ask our customers. That's why they count on us. Over 50 years of service, keep us going strong. We've got a name you can depend upon. Hansberger Refrigeration and Electric. Hansberger, count on us.
El Dorado broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Diego Technologies, M&M Workshop, Peak Weight Loss and Wellness, The House of Untamed, Raffi Law Group, and Divine Home Care. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Ashley at yumachamber.org. That's Ashley at yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
Yuma, the great American RV Roadshow Super Sale was set to end, but holiday shoppers packed the Yuma Fairgrounds, so we're sticking around one more week.
Best of end of season clearance prices are still rolling on new and used RVs, including our very best deals on repos and trades.
This is one of the world's largest traveling RV sales, but when it's gone, it's gone.
RVs cost less at the Great American RV Roadshow.
Extended through Sunday at the Yuma Fairgrounds. Parking and admission are free.
Presented by RV Country.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So what AI have you, of the different versions out there, have you kind of signed into, and what do you use it mostly for? Like, what's your go-to?
It depends on what I'm using it for.
Okay.
So if it's business-related, we use Claude a lot. We use ChatGPT just because it's accessible and it's easy. For my personal, like when I have, you know, like the one I use on my phone mm-hmm. is Grok. I like Grok.
Okay.
So,
What do you see in the difference between the three? I haven't used Grok. I've heard a lot of good things about
right.
it.
Grok seems to be more real, more human.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a little extra human in there, because when we put things into ChatGPT, I just used it yesterday. So an engineer sent me a long description, code references and things of why he needed to do something the way he did it. And then I sent that to the owner, and the owner said, hey, what does this mean in layman's terms?
Yeah.
And we forget sometimes that not everybody talks in these terms that we talk into. And it was pretty lengthy. And I'm like, well, so I started writing it out. And then one of the younger guys in my office said, he said, hey, I just popped it into ChatGPT and asked it to simplify it into just a couple sentences. And I was like, wow. You know, so it did that work for us in seconds. But I had to massage it a little bit because it sounded like AI. It didn't sound like a person wrote this. It sounds like, I always think AI, whenever it writes something, it sounds like what an alien would think that humans would say.
Uh-huh.
And so it's always a little inhuman. So Grok is a little better at that. I feel like Grok kind of kicks back what somebody next to you would say. So that, and that may just be me and what I'm asking it to
that,
do.
Those are the reviews that I've been seeing. I haven't used it. I've been watching a lot of YouTube reviews on the different versions of it. I use Claude quite a bit. I use Gemini, depending on what, you know, if I'm in my email and I'm using a Google, you know, application, then I'll use Gemini because it's right there. But ChatGPT, I like a lot. What do you like, Adam?
Yeah, I've turned fully to Gemini now. With Gemini.
You're big into it, right? Like you're building things.
Pro 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Gemini 3 Pro.
So what do you like about Gemini?
Well, it does everything now. It's kind of like the one-stop shop. And I think what we're going to see is with this new release of Gemini 3, it kind of eclipsed the others. And if you're Google, if you're into Google, Gmail, that kind of stuff, they've done a fantastic job of baking that in and purposely so. Like they've got a long game that they're playing, and now they've kind of taken over. So it's embedded in everything now. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Google user, it's going to be there. And I foresee it kind of like taking off. I don't know if others can catch up. I think ChatGPT, because it was kind of the first one to the race, that's when we think AI, like ChatGPT comes to mind because it was the first kind of public availability one that we were using. But it quickly got some competitors through Google and then also Claude, which was like a sleeper. Nobody really knew about Claude in the very beginning. But it ended up being really, I used it for writing, legal writing. And I uploaded it for Claude in the very beginning. It allowed you to upload your writings. So I gave it hundreds of pages of my court briefs and things like that. And I created styles. So when I presented a problem, I can select like Adam's formal writing, and it would be more like if I'm talking to the court, then they would come out with the response. And again, you got to massage it. It wasn't perfect, but it did 90% of my work, you know, my heavy lifting. It would be inaccurate a lot of times for statutory references and things like that. I always have to double check that. So it's like trust but verify kind of stuff.
Yeah, it can be inaccurate, and that's one thing that people, and I'm sure it's going to get much better. I mean, we've had it seems like it all happened in the past year and a half, maybe not even that long, that it's really been implemented. But the understanding what it's neat, what should be said, and then it says 90% of it, but you have to go in and tweak. If you just send it out raw, you're going to be embarrassed. Sorry to cut you off there, Adam, but yeah, I've seen
not
that
at all.
Too.
I mean, you're exactly right. That, and I'm sure you've experienced that too, Chris. But so over time, I mean, I've been using all of these different ones, Grok, from time to time. You know, I in the very beginning, Grok was a little better at coding. So if I wanted to code an app or I want to play around with some stuff, then I would use Grok. But now Gemini's kind of jumped all that, and they have different ways to use it. So if I want to create videos or I want to create photographs and switch over to coding, like I want to design an app, you can design an app in like 10 minutes, you know, like a fully functional app. And right now I've been, for the last week, we've been working on a database, which is mind-boggling. It's difficult because there's so many nuances in what we do, and with the data that we have to mine from a client, depending on whether it's going to be an estate planning client or a probate, and we have to track, we don't have to, but I want to track the lifestyle. So you come into our office, Chris, for estate planning, we design a trust, wills, powers of attorney, and then years down the road, you become incapacitated. So, your wife comes in, she says, Chris is just acting funny. He can't really make decisions on his own. So we have to track your life cycle so that we can continue to legally help you and implement the things that the trust was doing and what the legal documents were doing for you. And now they're coming into existence. And then we need to track when you pass away so we can help in that administration or trust administration. So there's all sorts of nuances throughout there that we're really tracking the person. And, not to be like big brother, but just to be able to help in a time of need. And in order to gather all those data points over time, there's a lot of them. And
sure.
And the way that they work, it's like a maze. And so AI has been really good about connecting all these dots. What I ended, like I showed you the other day, Sean, what I thought was fascinating was I'm building this database with it. So we're building it together, you know, kind of starting out rudimentary with these building blocks.
When he says together, his AI personality is building it with him. No, I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's talking to AI, and AI is talking back.
Right.
And he's saying, I want to do this. And it says, okay, here's this. No, let's do it this way. AI says, oh, we have these options too. And so it's conversing with him and presenting options that he didn't know about, or presenting them in a different way that helps develop it. And so by the end of the project, it's something far beyond what you even imagined it could be. Mm-hmm. And it's built 1,000 times quicker than you could have hired a team to write the code to do it. Am I accurate in saying that?
You're right on track. Well, I had an epiphany moment though, when I was going through this, like I showed you, Sean, like I had kind of done the rudimentary building blocks of this database. And I was just about to pull the trigger on actually building it. When I say the building blocks, I need AI to understand or contemplate all these different situations so it knows how to connect the dots for us when we actually put it in the database form. And a database it needs to be relational. So when I use your name in my database, I pull up Chris Thompson, and I need to know, well, how old you are. So you got all this basic data, your date of birth, your date of death, maybe you're incapacitated. When was that declared? When you're incapacitated? Are you married? Who are you married to? So now you got Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
She's another contact in the database with her own stream of data that needs to be tracked. But you guys are connected in a certain way. She's your spouse. You're her spouse. And then you also have these kids, which is another contact in the database that needs to be tracked in a certain way. So there's all these relationships between all these data points. And that's where it becomes very complicated.
Sure.
Not impossible, but it would take teams, and has in the past. Previously, it takes teams to build databases for companies to track things and do it the way that you want to. And so it's now with AI, I mean, AI is kind of picking this all up. And along the journey, so we've got the building blocks built. And then I'm like, I had an epiphany. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to throw a scenario at it. Let's see what happens. And so I said, simulate this person goes to one of our seminars in the foothills, and then they set an appointment with us. They're married and they have a few kids. And then the wife, this is a second marriage, they have a few kids. Run this simulation through this database. And it put together a fact pattern of all these different facts and stuff. And it started coming out with issues that we...
So it's creating an individual, essentially. It's creating a client, and it's running it through the system that he has, mm-hmm. and it's creating the facts of that client. I just wanted to...
And then picking up on the nuances of the legality of whether they do, you know, options that are available to them and some pitfalls, some things that could really come to bite us as a law firm if we don't pick up these issues and discuss it with them on how they want to do that. And it was picking it up just like Sean and I would in a consultation. Sure. It was awesome. And then
beyond, there were a couple of things that I was like, I never do that. And then I thought about it and I was like, oh, actually I should,
maybe we should
be doing
it's
that.
It's not that we wouldn't do that. And it's not that we didn't know about it. It's just, it was very, very conservative in that what we were looking at. That's the characteristic that I place on it, because we knew of that strategy. It's just like, it's not something we don't typically do it because mm-hmm. it's a little bit more difficult and locked down. And I would say conservative or very mm-hmm. like, there's a difference between running a business and being.
Yeah. Adhering to every aspect of every statute.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They have to be, you have to,
there's a balance.
There's
there.
A balancer or else none of us would be able to function in life, you know? And so it's not that we didn't know about these things. It's just, we've never implemented them because of, you know, our philosophy and how we get work done. But what it was able to do was, oh, I didn't contemplate that in the database, and I'm seeing these issues. I need to build that in. So it starts building. And then I started just.
And you tell it to build it in, like put that in, right?
Well, the very beginning I did. Yeah. At the very beginning, I had said, if there's issues or there's weaknesses in the database that we haven't contemplated yet, then I need you to, you know, address that. And so it picked up on that right at the beginning. And then I just started throwing fact patterns at it, like basic ones. And it would come up with really right on the money. There are situations we've run into. And they can
it's
be
throwing
complex.
Fact patterns at you, though, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam's like, watch, we're going to throw a fact pattern into this. So I thought, okay, we're going to come up with a scenario. We're going to feed it all the information. And then we're going to see if it would come up with the same plan that we would come up with. And Adam's like, no, no, no. I'm going to tell it, a lady's coming in and she's in her 50s and she's going to do her estate plan. Give me a fact pattern.
No, I didn't even tell it to give me a fact pattern. I said, simulate this through the database. And it gave us the fact pattern. And it's not outlandish. It wasn't like something I haven't seen before. It was right on the money. And I'm like, I've seen that before. Everything it gave me, I was like, I've seen that before. And it exposed weaknesses in the database to that point that it built in.
Was it good at predicting?
Absolutely.
What that client is going to require or need or...
Yeah, and then creating a checklist, say, make sure you look at this, this, and this before taking the next step or giving this advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that is the advice that we'd give. Whether or not I explain each of those options it kind of depends on whether or not I think the client is going to understand or there's time. Because I can't give them a legal education every time they come into my office. They just have to trust that the final solution I'm presenting them is
going to serve them.
Yeah, going to be the best outcome that for them. So I wanted to ask both of you, what are the things that impressed you the most or that you use the most and I think is the most helpful that you just – it's your go-to thing with AI and the thing that you – hate the most that you think it should do. And I'm going to start off with the thing I hate the most. The thing that I intended or I thought the AI should do is be able to create formatting in Word or Google Docs or Google Sheets or Excel. I don't want to do the formatting.
Right.
I want it to make it look good. And so when I present it with a document like a legal brief and say, do a response to this and this motion here. Make a response to this motion. It will do a wonderful job in looking up the law, analyzing the cases, and then creating a response and the data itself. And it will create its own format that looks nice, but it's not the type of formatting that I need to put in the pleading, and doesn't look at all like the document I uploaded. And so I'm like, put that into a Word document. And it doesn't. Or when I have a Word document and I say, okay, this has got outline and stylistic issues, correct it. Make the outline 100% consistent because for some reason Word, when I get off on the outline and the indentation and stuff like that, I cannot figure out how to correct it. It's got a mind of its own. And I want to tell AI, correct this for me. Figure out what it is that's going on with the formatting. Why is the paragraph off? Why is it indented twice when it should be once? And fix it. And it hasn't been able to do that. At least I haven't found the AI program that does that. And that's the thing that I hate about it.
You stole my hate.
Oh.
Because it's fantastic at generating the content, but it's not presentable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can just seamlessly work into your documents. We have that with drawing. I was using it just the other day to help develop and embellish a site plan, and it just can't do it. It doesn't do that. So there's still, which maybe it's a good thing, you still have to be involved. You still have, you can't just tell it, you know, hey, we're designing a church. It needs to seat this many people. It needs a drop-off lane. It needs parking. It needs a rectory and a dormitory and a gymnasium. Give me 8 possible site plan layouts on this size site. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's like a 6-year-old.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber. Your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber. Ready for everything.
This is the Daily Note. I'm James A. Brown. Not long ago, I shared with you that I'm a purple person, not a red person or a blue one, but a purple person and proud of it. My views are a mix of my experiences, as I believe yours are too. One of the most troubling responses I had to this, I received on YouTube. They said that historically, purple people like me are the first wiped out when it hits the fan. I can't help but be horrified by that notion. In this country today, we speak so flippantly about war and violence that the true meaning of those words fade. But what worries me most isn't whether I'll be wiped out, it's whether you in this nation will be too. Because frankly, no one wants that, even those who think they do. On that note, I'm James A. Brown, and as always, be well.
You deserve a chair that works as hard as you do. X-Chair. X-Chair ergonomic seating is built to move with you. DVL technology adapts to support your lumbar. SciFloat Infinite Recline lets you lean back and relax. X-Chair gives you all-day comfort and productivity. Save up to 50% during the X-Chair holiday sale. But hurry, inventory is limited. Visit xchair.com and save up to 50% today. That's xchair.com.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Is there any? So are there any AI programs right now that you know of that for architects or engineers that there, can do drawings or no?
No, we've seen a few that are, it's very good on the rendering end of things. Like if you give it the building or the basic building layout
through CAD or whatever.
Right. So using. We draw it up in CAD. So we give it height, we give it dimension, we give it the layout, we give it the space adjacency. This room's next to this room. We can tell it that. And then we can say, okay, now give me a rendering of this building in a forest setting or whatever. Oh, and wow. In seconds, it gives you a almost photorealistic, beautiful version of that.
That's cool.
But if you were to just go to it and say, I need a church, it needs to be this big, draw me a church, it's like from Mars. It's just bizarre, couldn't be built, just strange. There's weird, you know, aspects to it. So it doesn't quite do that. But where we lose time with it is then formatting it, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
So we take the information, then I have to bring it in. I want these words to be bold. I want these words to be indented. I want these words to be, you still have to do that, which you do through, you know, you can double dip and do that through your proofreading process. But it doesn't do that. Now, what I understand from Anna in my office as she's building this Claude AI operator, it will learn how we format things. And so it will get closer to, and maybe someday after a lot of, you know, practice, it will generate a comment response letter to the city of Yuma exactly like we would do it in our format on our letterhead.
Yeah.
All we have to do is proofread it, sign it, send it.
Yeah.
So, but it just, I think it has to learn. It has to learn what your style is. It doesn't have any style.
Yeah.
Like I said, it does. And Grok has a little bit of, that's probably that human factor that I like about Grok, is it kind of has a style. Like if I put the same prompt into three different AIs, I know I'm going to like the Grok one because I like its style.
Yeah. Mm.
And you can change that. You can say, write it in a more formal language, write it in a very informal language, simplify it, write it as if I can't read, you know, and it can do that. But you have to inject your style into it. And then I don't know that it can ever be exactly what you want. You're going to have to tweak it. You know?
I think the true power of AI comes through the context that you give it. So early on, you would be like, I need you to do this. That you would explain the whole situation. Well, if you want it to be good, you have to give it context. And so you have to. Mm-hmm. I'm an architect in Yuma, Arizona, and this is the style that I like. And I'm like, you know, you got to give it all this context, and then you ask it to do something.
Yes, I would watch all these tutorials on YouTube about how to write the prompt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And prompt engineering is what they call it, and that quickly got eclipsed by, you know, like in Claude or in ChatGPT, you can build your own custom GPTs now. And so you're giving it context, so you don't have to give it all this stuff all the time anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And so in Gemini, we use what are called gems. And in gems, it's very similar to the other things, but you can upload sources. So you give it your SOPs, your standard operating procedures for a receptionist. This is our standard operating procedure for a receptionist. This is our standard operating procedure for a paralegal. So you give these SOPs to it, and it always has them. That's its brain, and it's always double checking and making sure it fits within the context that you've provided to it. And in our case, like I've given it our in Arizona, there's this manual that in our area of law, it's called the Arizona Probate Practice Manual, and so I've given it the whole manual with four. I mean, it's this big. It's like probably 7-8 inches thick of forms and statutes
and explanation of statutes and cases.
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me of in the medical field, they have like the medical practitioner's guide, you know, when it comes to medications and stuff. Don't just prescribe this. This is what this does. And it doesn't work well with this. You know, you've got the practice. That's kind of what this is. And so it has all the context. And so when I ask it a question, it understands Arizona law and the nuances the way that a practitioner would. And so it can give me a really good return for what I'm giving it.
And what's important there is, you know, the stuff, what you're cutting out is the time it takes to go find it.
Yeah. Yes.
Go cross-reference it, cross-check it, and produce something that you can stand behind and say essentially that you created, that you responded, but you're using that tool to do it. So it doesn't really, I find it doesn't really create well. It is very good at processing creative things that you give it, creative data. But if you just start cold and say, I'd like it to do this and look like this and all that, it's bonkers what comes out sometimes.
This brings up a hot topic because, as you know, Chris, Sean probably not, but Taylor Swift released her new album not too long ago, okay, Life of a Showgirl. I know you were looking forward to it, and it's come out.
Yeah.
And it was a hit.
Posters on my wall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's got some bangers, dude. And I'm like, I'm listening to this album, and one after another, banger after banger. And I'm like, I know Taylor used AI. I know for a fact she used AI. And I'm not, this is my argument. Okay. So I bring this up to my wife, and that didn't go over so well.
No, I can't.
It was the end of the world. And with my sister-in-law, they were defending Taylor up and down. And I was like, well, you're equating the use of AI the way that I'm talking about it in a negative context. I use AI to enhance what I already know and do. Chris, you use it to enhance what you already know and what you do. Taylor, as a master songwriter, can use it to enhance. I'm not saying that she used AI to do all of it, but she has this notebook that she creates. She, every once in a while, she'll write down phrases or words that come to her mind. She keeps it. And that's what she uses to write her songs. That's what she said. I'm like, why is it such a stretch to think that Taylor, who is a master lyricist, doesn't use that notebook and phrases in conjunction with AI to help the brain juices flow, play around with ideas? Like, to me, she's an intelligent woman. Like she's very, very smart. And I would think that's one thing that she would do. But just mentioning that to my wife or to my sister-in-law, like, I was
cheating.
Like, yes, it's as if, I don't know, I was.
Well, there's a huge debate.
Like you were accusing her of plagiarizing off of a computer.
Well, it was more than that. It was like burning down a church house or something.
You were dumbing down her offering to the world.
But it was lost. The comparison of myself.
Sure.
Or an architect.
Or any
other professional uses AI to enhance what they already do.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say when you said, what do you love about AI? And what I've loved about AI is what it can do with music. There's some albums I've listened to and the person doesn't exist. There is no...
Is that right?
Yeah. And they're fantastic songs. They're amazing, incredible songs. And this is the big debate in the music industry is how legitimate is that?
Yeah.
Now, I have to give it something. I have to give it prompts and hooks and lyrics and things that I want the song to convey. It doesn't just invent a song, but what it does is it takes, so I want to do, Tupac's Mama in this soul version. And I was listening to it the other day and I was like, this is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's got everything that I want, you know, in a song. And so is that legitimate? So is that, it's a song.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of music is created digitally today.
Auto-tuning.
There's very few that are, auto-tuning and they're produced. I mean,
sure.
Watch a behind the scenes, watch them make a song. They don't just sit down and record a song. It's, you know, the producer's there to say, we need to bring this up. We need to play this down. We need to bring this in. Let's shift this over. Let's take this and move it to here in the song. They're doing that.
Yeah.
You know, the producer's doing that, but now just AI is the producer.
Yeah.
And so, I don't have a problem with it as long as the artist is involved in that. Like my clients would have an issue if I was not involved in creating whatever it is that I used AI as a tool to create. I would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I still think you need to be involved. So if an artist like Taylor Swift is using her own creativity and then using AI as a tool to enhance that, I don't have a problem with that. Now, if it's, she just says, hey, AI, come up with a song about a breakup I had in high school, and it led me to believe that I could be a powerful person and blah, 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 and give me a song. And then it puts out a song, which could be any Taylor Swift song with that prompt. Then if that song's fantastic, well, that's not her.
Yeah.
She didn't create that. You know, I would think she's probably putting in, hey, I've got this riff. I've got this chord progression that I really like. I've got this phrase that I came up with while driving and I wrote it down in my book. I want to put this phrase into a song and I want the song to be peppy. And so I want it to have this kind of beat and then it produces a song. I'm okay with that. But if it's just, I don't know.
I'm not arguing that she used it to create the beat. I didn't even think about the music part. I'm talking about the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Because the lyrics are very catchy and they hit really good. And it's like,
but wow, she's always done that. Well,
she always has. Right.
She was brand new on the scene.
But that fast, that's my argument. Like she just got done being on tour for a year, 2 years, like one of the biggest tours, most successful tours in world history. And, she had time to create a new album during that.
There's a lot of time on the bus. There's a lot of time on the plane.
I don't know. I went and saw her and I was like, she doesn't got a lot of time. It's day after day of this 3-4 hour concert grind. It's like, dude, she's
I don't know. I'd be curious. So when you read her song credits, is she the only one credited?
I don't know.
On all those songs, or is it like
credits.
T Swift and then four other people?
My understanding is she writes her own stuff. That's what I've always heard. I don't know what that means. I don't know if she's got collaborators. I don't know. I haven't looked into it too deeply.
Well, you haven't said what you hate about AI That it's what its shortcomings are.
Yeah, well, what I hate about AI is it acts like a human too much sometimes, like an employee. Like sometimes we're going on hours of work, and all of a sudden it's like, I just can't anymore. I'm like, tired. Really? I'm like, get up, let's go, we're moving along here. It's like
it gets tired.
I asked you that yesterday if it does. Because like, you were working on the same conversation for like 8 hours, and I was like, doesn't it bog down on the conversation? And
yeah, so that conversation's going strong. There was another one. It was more of like in ChatGPT, you can enable agent mode. Agent mode allows it to do things as if it were you physically on a computer. And I needed to take this course. For
careful. We're gonna have to edit this.
Dominating yourself.
I think it's a freaking racket. So anyway, okay. I'm like, hey, here's my login credentials. Go into this course and just sit there because it has a time requirement. You can't take the final exam for 2.5 hours. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit here. Like I got through the course in like 45 minutes, but I can't take the final exam for 2.5 hours. So I was like, go do that for me. It's like, okay. It's like a little puppy dog. Okay, yeah, I'll go do that. Yeah. And it logs in. So what happens is the screen pops up, like a computer screen. It goes to the website I told it. And then you see a cursor like, boop, boop, start clicking on boxes and putting in my credentials. It logs in. It's like, okay, all right, I see it. I see the course. And it's like, tell me everything. I'm like, yeah, just do it, you know? And so what I really hate about it is
you know what he's talking about, like in the background where it says, I'm thinking on this. I can see this document. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
okay.
It's telling you. Yeah, I'm following along.
Ooh, but it's super impatient too. That's the funny thing. It's like I clicked on this and it's not working. It's like, it's had to slow down
to atom time.
Yeah,
because it could burn through the information in seconds, but it has to appear as if you're a human absorbing this information, and it can only come at a slower pace.
Thank you. Yes, right. That's correct. We got to go, guys.
Okay.
Hey. All right.
Thanks for another great episode, Chris.
It's fun. I always love this. Talk about, you know, turning to your phone for therapy. You know, I turn to you guys.
Oh, that's good.
This is a good
therapeutic hour every month.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've called it now. It's the fantastic. Couch. Welcome to the couch. And it just brings it all out.
It's fantastic. Appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You see that?
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Since 1905, the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce has been the voice for business in Greater Yuma. Want to stay informed about Yuma's business community? The Chamber connects you with local leaders, business and marketing opportunities, and advocacy that ensures Yuma stays a great place for your business to grow and thrive. Serving all of Yuma and Yuma County, including the Kokopah and Quishan Nations, the Chamber strengthens partnerships that move our region forward. Be part of Yuma's business network. Call Valeria or Ashley today at 928-782-2567.
As the nights get colder, some Yuma families are simply hoping for something warm to sleep in. This holiday season, El Dorado Broadcasters and Avenir Financial invite you to join DJs for PJs, a pajama drive, bringing comfort to those who need it most. Please donate new, unused warm pajamas, any size, from baby to adult, now through December 14th. Drop them off at our station, Avenir Financial, or any local Little Caesars Pizza. Your gift will help local families through Amberley's Place and Arizona's Children Association, because sometimes a little warmth can mean the world.
AK Day at Firearms Unknown is Saturday, December 13th. Firearms Unknown is having a one-day-only sale on all AK-47s. Firearms Unknown will have discounts on all AK brands like Century, Zastava, Arsenal, Riley Defense, and Pioneer. Plus, with select AK purchases, customers will receive five free X-Tech AK magazines. Riley Defense and X-Tech will be on-site showcasing their products and answering questions for customers. Spin the prize wheel for a chance at free swag. One day only, Saturday, December 13th. Doors open at 9 a.m. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street or firearmsunknown.com.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. Visit smiletrain.org/learn.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.